This is a very short psalm. It's a psalm of the unity of the brethren. Oil and dew. Actually, oil and water do not mix. We are like opposing personalities. But this is oil and dew. The description that we have read is a joyous picture. A joyous picture of Jewish pilgrims singing this psalm on their way to Jerusalem. They came to the feast on holy days from different walks of life, regions and tribes. No matter how hard the pilgrimage was, it was a time of refreshing. David in this psalm describes the joy of brethren meeting together in unity. The aromatic anointing perfume, the refreshing dew, the fragrance of the anointing oil poured over the head of the priest Aaron, who succeeded Moses, consecrating him for his religious office, and the oil trickling down his beard onto his magnificent robes. You see, this ceremony evokes great joy and devotion. The second picture is that of the dew on Mount Hebron. Mount Hebron. Now, the gathering in Jerusalem, seeking God's appointed grace, was for the renewal of life. The meaning of the picture, a people united in God. A priestly oil stands for the blessings, and the dew for the life for God's family. We are also pilgrims. We are traveling together. We have a destination. Our heavenly home, for some earlier, for others much later. But we are traveling together. It is foolish to be a believer in isolation. There was a man who hasn't been to church for some time, and the pastor went to visit him, and he said, "Pastor, I can worship on my own, and I pray and I read the Bible." And they were sitting beside a coal fire during the winter time, and a piece of coal dropped out and dropped onto the ground, and it turned from bright red to black. And the pastor came and with a tong and carried the coal back into the fire, and it became bright again. And then the pastor left the church. The next day, he was back in the church. You see, the moment we become Christians, we are part of the body of Christ. Christ is the basis of our fellowship. We are part of the universal Christian community. We are fellowship of new life. We are a family in Christ. No Christian is an only child. We cannot thrive in isolation. We need to seek our identity in the body of Christ. We form together the visible body of God's creation. We are a community rooted in relationship. We dwell with the saints in heaven in glory. Trust and love in Christ. When we have a trust in Christ, we gain resources to live godly lives. We stop being sinners. Our personalities do not change. If we are quiet, analytical, unemotional before conversion, we are not suddenly becoming slap happy extroverts. We are who we are. As Christians, we are unique. We believe God is a God of love. The presence of love affirms others and overcomes destructive aspects of our character. But love nurtures and strengthens relationships. Envy, prejudice, boastfulness, anger, evil are avoided through love. Love provides stability and consistency in which life thrives. You see, in the chapter of 1 Corinthians 13:7, we read, "Love beareth all, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." We bear one another in holding up. In other words, simply, love sustains one another, believes the best about others, credit with good intentions, and not suspicious. Love always trusts. Love hopes all things, never giving up on others, but affirming our future. It endures all things. It perseveres and remains loyal to the end. But we also have unity in diversity. God wants us to appreciate the diversity within our fellowship. We may not all think alike, but we should all walk together. We need unconditionally to accept one another and treat each other with dignity and respect. In present-day Britain, we have such a diversity in culture, race, and religion. We see an increasing need to appreciate one another in our daily lives. In our present community, we are made up of different ethnic groups within our church family, as well as in the wider community. But we need more and more to seek ways to achieve harmony, if not unity in our community. For the tension in our capital cannot be sustained forever if we are indiscriminate. If we are called to be children of God, we have to walk in our diversity and accept the differences in people if there is to be a harmonious relationship and unity in community. You see, there's a beauty in wildflowers that have sprung up along the motorway verges. On their own, they seem like weeds, but together they paint a symphony of color. The thing of wildflowers is just that they pop up. They will be different, but they are one creation. We are God who created us. So we show our love by being tolerant with one another. Do your best to preserve the unity in which the Spirit gives the means of peace that binds us together. In 2 Timothy 1:7 it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." That is a sound mind for good judgment, ability to understand and make right decisions to ensure peace and safety in our community. When we walk in unity, we can accomplish much achievements. Martin Luther summed this up in his Martin Luther's King summed this up in his famous speech with passion. He said, "I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream," he said, "that my four little children will one day have a nation whereby they will be judged not by the color of their skin, but the character of their content of their character. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain made low, the rough places made plain, and crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together when we let unity reign." Martin Luther King. There is glory in unity. When we see unity, we see the glory of the Lord manifest. The Bible says the whole world shall be covered with the knowledge of the glory of God. How we say things depend on our unity together in the Spirit of God. There was an English poet, he was looking at the sunrise with a London merchant. And the poet asked the merchant, "What do you see?" And the merchant said, "I see a yellow disc, which looks like to me like a golden coin." And the merchant turned to the poet and said, "What do you see?" And the poet said, "I see a host of angels, and they are saying, 'Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are filled with your glory.'" The anointing that we read brings unity. If we want a richer anointing in our lives, God is requiring us to walk in His unity. His family of diverse people is important to Him. There can be no flow of anointing if there is no flow of unity. The story is told of two brothers. They had not spoken for many years. Their father had given them adjoining land, and they built houses on that plot, and they farmed their land, and they raised their families. But there had been hurt and pain and disappointment and misunderstanding between the two brothers. They had not spoken to each other in many years. When they were on the front porch, they never looked at each other. They looked at the creeks and the trees and things else. One day, one of the brothers had a windfall. He decided to take his wife abroad for holiday, and he decided on a plan to build a large fence between his property, between the brothers. So he talked to the local carpenter. He said, "Will you build this fence between our houses?" You see, the brothers had not spoken to each other since their mother died. The local pastor, a carpenter, was also the pastor at the church. And the pastor, carpenter, he knew the elderly parents of the two brothers and how he longed for the two brothers to be united. So the angry brother ordered the word and he left for his holiday with his wife. Over many days, the carpenter started to build a bridge across the creek. Slowly, each board began to meet each other, and a bridge was built between the two houses. The brother returned from his vacation, and he walked across to inspect. And the other brother also walked across. And they saw each other, and they greeted each other, and they hugged, and they cried, and they talked and remembered their great-haired mom and dad long departed. And the brother invited his brother, "Come, let us share a meal together tonight." And the brothers lived over the years as brothers and friends. You see, the old pastor had not built a wall. If he had built a wall, the brothers would not have talked to each other. He built a bridge that brought unity and love. As a church, we need to understand the value of each person within our congregation. If there's a fault, we must address. If there's a need, then we must think, value others more than self. There is no place for self-centeredness, for selfishness in the body of Christ, the church. if the church is to be united in the way Jesus prayed for, it will come when we begin to value everyone in a way they understand. The fact is that our small fellowship, we are still learning to live together. In congregations across the country, there remains dissensions, disagreement in matters of worship, doctrine, and church governance. But in Acts chapter 4, verses 32, it says, the early church, all the believers were of one heart and one soul. So Psalm 133 gives us a picture of what Trinity, true unity is like. Firstly, it is the precious oil poured over the head, running down the beard, running down Aaron's unshaven beard, down upon the colour of his robes. The oil that is poured over his head contained spices, myrrh, cinnamon, calamus, and cassia. These spices were blended together in a base of olive oil. In Scripture, olive oil is used as a symbol of God's Holy Spirit. The olive oil binds the spices together in a way that God can blend us together. In other words, humans are bound together. We are spicy. Our flavors and our differences can clash with each other, but only the oil of God's Spirit can blend us together. When Aaron was anointed with oil, it was not a little droplet of oil. He was drenched. He was drenched with oil that ran down his beard, down upon the colour of his robes. The oil covered everything. If we are trying to maintain unity in our church, we just need not a drop of oil, but be blessed by the Spirit. We need a drenching. We need God's Spirit poured down over us and cover us completely. In the same way, God's Spirit through Jesus Christ can pour over and cover all the rough edges of sin that makes us rub each other wrongly. Only God's Spirit can give us the grace to overlook each other's fault, so that we may live together in good and pleasant unity. And when that takes place, the whole world will take notice. For within the anointing oil running over Aaron's head and lowering down his garments, the whole temple was filled with the scent of sacred perfume. The aroma was inescapable, and everyone noticed. When we come together as a church, the sweet smell of unity should fill the building. The aroma will not be contained here. It will flow out and fill the community around us. And people will be drawn to Jesus Christ by the sweet aroma of unity. Secondly, unity is like dew. Mount Hebron is an impressive land that stands out in the dry plains north of Jerusalem. It has very lofty heights, and there were cool winds and refreshing summer mists. And the dew of Mount Hebron comes only on a quiet night. Tranquility is needed for the dew to form. You see, unity descends like dew, a gift from God. A task is to ask for this gift. All too often, we sometimes make this happen on our own human efforts. All too often within the church we hear of differences and disputes. But unity is not our goal. Our goal is for calling God a unity that pleases God. God wants our church to be a community of true unity. True unity is not found in a fellowship with squabbling or complaining members. Unity is a blessing that has its source in God Himself. Just before His arrest, Jesus made this request to God for all who believe in Him. He prayed, "May they be brought in complete unity, to let the world know that You sent Me, and love them even as You have loved Me. I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that You have sent Me and has loved them as Thou hast loved Me." John 17:23. You see, our fellowship can be part of that answer to that prayer. We cannot do it on our own. We cannot force unity. We can pray that He will work in our hearts to bring about the unity that will show the world the love of God. Jesus said to His disciples, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So ye must love one another. By this all men will know ye are My disciples, if ye love one another." John 13:34-35. May we enjoy the good and pleasant unity that God offers, that everyone will be drenched with the oil of God's Spirit. And the unity of the Spirit will also fall on our church like the dew from on high.